Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, yesterday was World Afro Day, when Afro hair is celebrated, but also to draw attention to some of the issues connected to it, both practical and societal. As a white bald guy, I'm of course uniquely qualified to speak about this, but we've invited in Denga Fariga, owner of Whipped to Grow, just in case I don't get anything right. Denga, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
Growing up in Meath,
yeah,
many hairdressers that could cater for you?
Definitely not. So yeah, very few. Growing up in Meath, so I was born in South Africa and then moved over here 16 years ago, and yeah, there was nothing. It was a shock to my hair, basically.
Yeah, so what did you do? What did you have to do?
Nothing. That is the honest answer. I mean, 16 years ago, there was basically nowhere where you could get any products for your hair. Very few people. You would have to basically bring it over when you come from wherever you're from,
yeah,
to try and make sure your hair is well taken care of. But that was not realistic in the long run.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now in Dublin, would there be a few places?
Now there is.
Yeah.
But back then there wasn't. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely seen an improvement over the years now. In recent years, there's been a few salons that do cater to Afro hair, and there's a few shops here and there in Dublin, but there's still the problem with the fact that the products that are being sold there are very harmful to your hair.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And those products would be to kind of lighten the hair, to relax the hair, that kind of thing?
Make it more Eurocentric, I suppose. Yeah. So make it more straighter.
Yeah.
And presentable, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
So it would basically be damaging your hair in the long run, in the hopes of making you look prettier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the Chris Rock documentary Good Hair about his daughter,
yeah,
and his daughter saying to him, "Why don't I have good hair?"
Yeah.
Meaning that, you know, straight
exactly
hair.
Exactly. Yeah.
For African hair in general, there's a kind of a grading system, is that right?
There is.
Yeah.
There is. There's a grading system for every type of hair, actually.
Oh, okay.
Not just African hair.
Not my specialist area, obviously.
Ginger hair has grading too.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, the hair grading would range from 1A to 4C, being 1A, 1B, 1C, and so on to 3, 4. So 1 would be your more finer hair, and then 4 would then be your more curlier, coilier hair.
Yeah.
The more coarse hair that would need more work, I suppose. So the Afro hair then would fall around 4B, 4C.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're up in if you're in the ones, is that hair relatively straight then?
Yeah, your hair.
Yes. Right. Okay. Well, not my hair, obviously. Right. Okay. Right. So it's down the fours where it's curly.
Yeah.
Is Irish weather really bad?
Yes, for our hair it is. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just really bad in general.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the weather really does play a big role in hair maintaining, especially when it comes to the Afro hair. So the colder seasons would be horrible. So you would always need to make sure you wear your hair in protective hairstyles like what I'm currently wearing right now. So you would have to kind of protect it in maybe braids or cornrows or dreadlocks or whatever the case is. Because if you don't, it will fall off.
Yeah.
It will break.
It'll literally fall out of your head. You mean?
Yeah. I mean, not like, you know.
Yeah.
But it will break more than during the summer.
Oh, God.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
So how would you describe how you have your hair now?
These are braids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that a lot of work?
It is a lot of work. I think maintaining Afro hair is a lot of work regardless whether it's the summer or the winter or spring. It doesn't really matter. I think it's because of the dryness and the coarseness that we would need more products to be piled up on our hair just for it to survive. Whereas the hair on the lower course, which is like 1A, B, you would just, you know, shampoo and conditioner, you'll be okay. You'll be good to go.
Yeah.
This type of hair needs a lot more work.
But by the same token, it might need more work. But Afro hair, maybe there's more you can do with it. Because if you're, you know, your number one hair, it's like you know, short or long. That's your alternatives, really.
I suppose. I mean, I think there's a lot you can do with any type of hair. And I think having African hair, I've learned to embrace my hair a lot more, I think, in recent times. I think I was growing up, I would also wish my hair was straighter because that's kind of like what you saw, you know, in toy stores, you know, seeing Barbie with the long hair. So it never really made sense for me to have an afro, you know. But I think growing up, I've learned to kind of be proud of how my hair looks and, you know, do more with it, I suppose.
Yeah.
So I can wear it out. I can braid it. I can whatever. I can do whatever I want.
And is that, would that be a factor if, you know, you're at work and you're in a room full of white people, that you're kind of aware of the effect your hair might have on them?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, the reality is that there is quite a lot of scrutiny when it comes to natural hair. So natural hair would be deemed unprofessional in a lot of settings, in schools, in work, wherever it is. So usually before you, you know, package your hair or maintain it in a certain way, you kind of have to think, is this going to be appropriate enough for the Eurocentric version of how hair should look? Like, will this be allowed in work? Will I be allowed in a board meeting with this type of hair, you know? Because even people in media now that would have afro hair would not really show it, because when they do wear their hair out, people get a little bit shocked, you know? So I think to a certain extent, it is a problem you know, for some people, but I think in recent times it's been more accepted socially.
And is it to that extent that something might be said, or is it looks or a vibe around the hair, if you're wearing the hair naturally?
I mean, yeah, definitely something could be said.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I change my hair all the time. Everyone in the office is like, oh my God, is that the new girl? And I'm like, no. I've been here for 2 years, guys. So my hair changes all the time. So you find people will want to touch it or ask, did that hurt, you know, for you to do that? Or how long do you normally wear that for? And I know, you know, to a certain extent, it's just curiosity.
Yeah.
But sometimes it does kind
intrusive.
Yeah, it does feel a bit intrusive because someone touching your hair is a bit like, you know, respect
boundaries,
my hair.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely something that would be spoken about. I know in America, a lot of states in America are passing the Crown Act. So the Crown Act is basically an act to make sure that people of color or African descent, people who have Afro hair or wear their natural hair, should not be discriminated against because it's something which is real. Like, it's actually reality.
They have done. Yeah, they've done service and they've rung up places.
Definitely.
And they just won't cater for African Americans at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll be like, you have the job, but make sure you tone it down a bit.
Yeah. It's also it is also interesting that in the States, the importance of barbershops and hairdressing salons have been for African-American communities.
Yes.
Because it's more than just getting your hair done. It's an expression and it's identity.
Exactly.
It's all those kinds of things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the business you have as well, Whip to Glow, is that for hair specifically?
So Whip to Glow is a body butter, but it also can be put on your hair. So I like, whenever we started the business, we noticed that there's definitely a gap in the market in Ireland. I think everywhere in the world, but you can only tackle with one place at a time, you know. And we noticed that there's a growth of, you know, African migrants in Ireland who will need this product. So the product can basically be put in your hair, and we have ways that you definitely can insert that into your hair routine on our website. So we're just basically trying to cater one head at a time to make sure, you know, people can actually wear their hair out and be proud of who they are and where they come from, really.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think it's an expression of self wearing your hair.
And so if you're like going to go with a full afro, what do you need to put into your hair?
Oh, geez. So a lot. So even the full afros, like I explained earlier, there's different types.
Yeah.
So depending on the porosity of your hair, that's when you would need to know what exactly you put in. So there's low porosity, there's medium porosity, and there's high porosity. So all of them basically range on the ends of your hair, depending on are your ends open, are they semi-open, or are they fully closed. So depending on where on the scale of porosity your hair is, that's what, so you'd first need to get tested on that. Yeah. You can do it at home, actually.
Yeah.
You just pop your hair in a glass of water, see if it sinks or it floats or it takes ages to sink. And depending on where it's sinking, you'll know the porosity. So let's say, for instance, you have high porosity, it would mean your ends are completely open. Mm. So you take moisture quick, it's as quick as you're going to lose it. So you need to make sure that, you know, you are moisturizing correctly with the correct products. So because you have high porosity, it might need to be more oilier products that will lock the moisture quicker, more oil-based, but natural oil-based, a lot of aqua, so a lot of natural water in there. You'll need to make sure you have your leave-in conditioners as well. You're doing your heat oil treatments if you have the time, a lot of hair masks. And yeah, most times when you sleep, you'll need to use a satin scarf.
Wow. Okay, yeah. That is a lot of work. Is tangling or detangling an issue?
Yeah.
Just your face.
Oh, gosh.
There.
Yeah. When I wear my hair out, if I just run outside, the humidity is crazy. I could come out with 20 inches of hair, yeah, go back into the house with like 5 inches. That's how quick it shrinks. So detangling is very important for Afro hair. So every time you wash your hair, you need to make sure you pre-poo it, meaning you're basically getting it wet before you actually get into the shower. You're making sure you're detangling with your fingers first. And as you wash it, you need to use a special comb to detangle your hair. So depending on your hair coarse or the porosity or the texture, it will depend what kind of detangling comb you use,
yeah,
and what kind of conditioner you use. Yeah, but you need to make sure there's very little chemicals or parabens in there because that's not good for your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that's fascinating.
Detangling takes about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just the detangling.
Denga, thanks a million for coming in to tell us all out there. Whip to Glow is, yeah, the name of our business. That's two is the number two. And that was Denga Ferreira you were listening to there.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.